have your Bibles tonight, if you would make your way to the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number six will be our text this evening as we are continuing our study through the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights. This is a study that we have entitled Things to Remember, and trusting the Lord to do this wonderful work in our heart, do this wonderful work of encouragement in our soul as we look at the nation of Israel as they are preparing themselves to enter into the promised land. We're looking at Moses and making his final declarations to them before he passes off of the scene and before his time here ends. As you know, that he is not enabled or entitled or allowed to enter into the promised land. This was something that was consequential to his act. It has a deeper spiritual meaning to it as well, but you know that he smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and therefore he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy is designed to prepare the nation of Israel spiritually as they enter in to the promised land. And we have enjoyed watching as the Lord has given his word to them. Moses has been faithful to review for them what God has done for them, or review to them what God has done for them in his goodness, in his grace, and in his mercy, his kindness to them, so that they understand that even though there were many times when they were unfaithful in the wilderness, that God is always faithful. By the way, I'm glad that God's faithfulness does not depend on our faithfulness, for we are unfaithful, but God is always faithful. And I rejoice in that great truth, comforted by that in our soul and in our spirit. He moved on in chapters 5, in chapter 5 there, to reaffirm the law. And we looked at that last week as God was reminding the nation of Israel that he is the Lord. There's none beside him. He was reminding them about what righteousness looked like for their understanding of their guide and their light, a way that they should walk in these ways in which the Lord God had commanded them. And so he's been faithful to do that. Chapters 6 and 7 go together. Chapters 6 and 7, of course, I won't finish all of that tonight, but these two chapters deal with the subject of motives. And they deal primarily with the subject of motives when it comes to the area of obedience to God. There are four motives that I believe you can find in these two chapters. I'll give them to you right now. I only preach one of them tonight. The beginning motive is a motive that would be called our love for the Lord, would be the first motive that we come to. The second motive for our obedience will be the gratitude that we have to the Lord. The third motive for obedience would be our separation unto the Lord. And then the fourth motive for our obedience would be the promises that we have from the Lord. And so Moses is encouraged and concentrated on the people's obedience to God. Matter of fact, if you pick up in chapter 6, verse number 1, the first three verses, He's reminding them of God's great love for them. He says in verse number 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe," or be careful to observe, "to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and with honey." And so Moses is encouraging the nation of Israel in the goodness of God. He's encouraging them in the blessing of God. He's teaching them the statutes and the commands of God so that they can know them, they can observe them, they can obey them, and that they will be blessed in that land that floweth with milk and with honey. And so he's dealing with their motives for why they're going to obey, because that is important. But he's also dealing with the subject of why they are to obey. And he's going to touch on the subject of why is it the nation of Israel responsible to obey the Lord in this land when the people of the land do not. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. He did not want the nation of Israel to follow after the people of the land and go after other gods. "Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you." And so Moses is instructing them and he's teaching them. He's saying, now God's brought you to this land. This is a good land. This is land that God has promised for you, a land of milk and honey. This is a land where God is going to care for you. And this is a land that you are going to be blessed in this land. Now, in order for you to know the blessing of God, you're going to have an obedient heart. You're going to have to obey God. And God didn't want this obedience just to stem from the demand of the law. He wanted this obedience to stem from their heart. And he didn't want them to get into the land and look at the other nations and begin to see the way that they behaved and envy that and not exalt the Lord. Matter of fact, those nations in the land were being removed from the land because they did not obey God, because they had a heathen practice to that. And so Moses is reminding them that even when the world doesn't obey God, God's people are to obey God. Okay? Not only is he after the understanding of the world, but he's also after the understanding of their own families. Look, if you would, at verse number 20 of this chapter. In verse number 20 of this chapter, speaking to the nation, he says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" So Moses says, now there's going to be a time when you go into that land and you're going to look at the people of the land. They don't know me. They don't obey me. They're going to have all that the world has as far as things and so on and so forth. But don't become envious of that. The people of God are to obey God. And then he says, when you get in the land and your children begin to ask you, why do we obey God? Why do we follow these commands? Why do we follow these statutes? Why is our home like it is? Why don't we go here, do this, say this? Why are we different than everybody else over there? He says, I want for you to have an opportunity or an answer to be able to explain to them that we are what we are and do what we do because we want to obey the Lord. And so the responsibility of God's people when they get into the land was a responsibility of obedience. Now, God wanted that, them to understand that, but he also didn't want them to obey just because it was the demand of them. He wanted them to obey because obedience was what was in their heart. And so Moses is giving them and challenging them motives for why they are going to obey the Lord. So I would ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? Say amen. Amen. If you know the Lord and you have a heart to obey the Lord, you're motivated to obey the Lord. All of us have motivations to obey the Lord. And these motivations, we need to understand that they carry power. They carry a direction, and they carry these things for us. So Moses is going to outline four motives that ought to be for the nation of Israel to obey God so that in their obedience, they will be blessed. And these motives are able to trump their comparison with the lost world and the way that they would approach God as opposed to following the Lord no matter what. And these motives are also strong enough to bring about the next generation. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my kids to love the same Jesus I love. And if they're going to love the same Jesus that I love, they're going to have to know why I love him. They're going to have to see an honest love for them. They're going to have to be confronted with his love in their own person. And so not only is Moses here concerned about the current generation, he's also concerned about the generations that will come after these. And so he's setting up here these motives. Our first motive we find is found in verses 4-9. The motive is found here in a very well-known passage of Scripture, especially to the Jewish mind and to the Jewish heart. For these scriptures that are found here are called something called the Shema. And I checked with some of our Jewish brethren to make sure I said it right. I did the best I could. And these are verses that are very familiar to the Jewish home, to the Jewish heart, to the Jewish mind. These are verses that are memorized, adored, and so on. And they come from the book of Deuteronomy. And so in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, in verse number 4, Moses is getting the attention of the nation of Israel. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is," say those two words if you would, "one Lord." All right. And so he's expressing here in this oneness that Yahweh is one. He is to be the sole object of their worship. There is none other but their God. And they need to see him and exalt him in that position. After that comes a command. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. "And thou shalt," say that word, "love the Lord thy God." And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Israel is commanded to love God. Is it possible to command somebody to love? Is it possible to command somebody to love? "Pastor, nobody can make me love so-and-so. Nobody can make somebody love somebody. Pastor, I thought love was to be mysterious and magical, just like I see it on television. I thought you either knew love or you didn't know love. It was either in the moment or not in the moment. It was something that happened to you, not necessarily because of you. Pastor, I thought that love was something that was out of my control. If love is out of my control, then how can I be commanded to love? I mean, come on, Pastor. No one can help who or what they fall in love with. I mean, love is its kind of its own feeling. Love is kind of its own direction. And really and truthfully, we're just slaves to love. Therefore, it would beg the question, can somebody really be commanded to love? Is it fair to command to love? And I would submit to you that it is imperative that you, like the nation of Israel, understand what true love really is. I would submit to you, like the nation of Israel, that the Bible would teach that love is not mysterious or magical. Love is not something that happens to you apart from your abilities. Love is not purely a feeling or an emotion. Love is an act of the will. Now, I need you to say that out loud. Here is what you're going to say. Love is an act of the will. One, two, three. Love is an act of the will. Love is an action. Love is a choice we make. Nobody can make me love anybody. Yes. You determine who or what you are going to love. The Bible, all throughout the Bible does command love. Here to the people of God, love the Lord thy God. Help me with this one. Husbands, love your wives. Wives are to love their husbands. Parents are to love their children. Children are to love their parents. Love in the Bible is always placed as an action and an act of the will. It is a choice that we make. Therefore, when it comes to God, love can be commanded. Now, to the Jew at this time in the Shema, it's demanded by the law. The law demanded that Israel love God. In our day, love is not demanded by the law per se for us, but love is a delight of grace. I love the Lord because he first loved me. That ought to encourage you. Amen. All right. So the law demanded love. In our day, grace, there's the delight of grace that brings about love for us. When you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and love is defined, love is described as an action, not a feeling of warm and fuzzy. Now, we've got a misunderstanding of what love is. We think that love is that warm, fuzzy feeling that we feel when we're around someone. My friends, feeling and emotion can be tied to love, but love is an action. It is a choice that you make. I cannot love my wife. Yes, you can. And you're commanded to do it. I don't love him anymore. I fell out of love. Nope. You chose not to love. Love is an act of your will. It is a choice that you make. And therefore, you're responsible to, as the nation of Israel was, they were responsible to love the Lord their God. And God had already proven to them his love for them, and he wanted that love to be reciprocated. God has already proven his love to us, and God wants that love to be reciprocated for us. Love is not a mystery. Love is not something that's magical. Love is not something that you can, that's out of your control. You determine what you love. Why is this so important? Because Moses is desiring for the nation of Israel to know the blessing of God. Moses is understanding that in order to know the blessing of God, that the nation of Israel was going to have to be obedient to God. And Moses knew that really and truthfully, that obedience to God and that blessing comes off of the motivation of my love for God. Jesus said, or John said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the law demanded that they love, By the fact, Jesus said on these two hang the whole law, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself. That was the whole law. Now, we're not demanded per se by the law to love God, but those of us that know God and have been saved by his grace, the delight of grace is to love the Lord. And so I want you to understand, love, but biblically, can be commanded by God. And by the way, if I'm commanded to love God, I'm commanded to love the things of God. Okay. So if it can be commanded, then it must fall within my will. It must fall within my ability to act. I make the decision who I'm going to love or what I'm going to love, and I am responsible for that decision. Well, Pastor, doesn't your heart have to be involved some way with love? Ooh, I thought you would never ask that question. Chapter 6, verse number 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine, say it, class, heart, with all thy, say it, soul, and with all thy might. Now, God did know that the law demanded that the nation of Israel love God. But would you please look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, and would you please look at verse number 29? This is God's words here. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, the law did demand and command that the nation of Israel love God. But God did not want the nation of Israel to love him because they were demanded to love him. God wanted the nation of Israel to love them because they had a heart in them to love him. And they wanted that law. They wanted that direction. God said, okay, if you want to know what I require, this is what the law requires. The law requires that you love me, but I want you to love me with your heart. So now in this command, in this motivation for obedience to love the Lord, he says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might. What is he saying here? Those three words in verse number 5, thine heart, thy soul, and that might, they work up the totality of the inner man. And what he's really meaning with it is all that is within you. All that is within you, this is where I want love to come from. I'm trying not to let myself like him, Pastor. I'm trying not to let myself like her, Pastor. Why would somebody not try to let themselves like or get to know? Because they're afraid that that person would get their heart. Some of you may have had trouble finding your own dates, so they set you up with something called a blind date. And your friend would say to you, give her a chance. Man, I had a really bad experience with that. Don't give him another chance. Just get to know him or her. I'm sure once you get to know them, you'll like them. And so even in a human relationship, before there is love, there is the filling or the yieldingness or the openness of our heart, of our soul, and of our might. And this is why relationships that are built on immorality or sexuality are so dangerous, because you don't really know the person. So this is how love works. As I meet someone and I allow that someone access to my heart, access to my soul, access to my might, as I allow that person and I'm yielded in my total inner man to that person, and as I get to know them, I then make a choice to love them. But I don't make a choice to love them until my heart and my soul and my inner man has been filled with them. You see, love is not that warm little gushy feeling you think you feel. Love is an action or an act of the will to esteem someone higher than yourself, to be selfless to someone, to exalt them, to meet their needs, to honor them or to cherish them. And that action is only possible once that person has filled your heart and your mind. Do you understand that? Okay. So why do you love your wife? You love your wife, or you used to love your wife, because she got your heart. Now the evidence that she has your heart is that you love. See, the action is evidence that they're in my heart. And so here's what Moses is telling the nation of Israel. You're going to need, in order to be blessed by God, you're going to need to obey God. And you're never going to obey God if you don't love God. Now, you're commanded to love God. You're commanded to lavish upon Him. You're commanded to do these things. Now, the reason God's commanding you, Israel, is because it's your choice. You're going to get over there, and you're either going to love the gods of that world, or you're going to love this, or you're going to love the true and living God. And we know from their example and looking back how they vacillated between that. And God knew that love is a choice. God knew that love was an act of the will. And He knew prior to that action, the heart and the mind and the soul and the makeup of humanity has to be filled with that person, and then there is the ability to love them. And so the heart is involved in that, but love is follows upon that as your action and your obedience to the Lord. It's a choice that you make. It is commanded by God. Well, Pastor, if I'm commanded to love God, and what you're saying is that as God fills my heart and fills my mind and fills my soul, that yieldedness to Him, that filling of Him, that relationship of Him, therefore enables me to love Him. Right. Well, how does that part happen? Look, if you would please, at verse number 6. Moses writes, and these, what class? Words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine what? Heart. So God's looking at the nation of Israel, and God says, the law demands that you love me. Now, I don't want you to love me just because it's demanded. I want you to love me with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. When I'm in your heart, your mind, and your soul, the preeminence of that inner man, and you've yielded yourself to me, you will choose to love me. To know God is to love God. My friends, if the nation of Israel would have took the time to know God, if they'd have took the time to take his words and let them be in their heart, if they'd have taken the time to memorize and submit themselves to those commandments and those statutes, if they'd have got to know their God, he would have so richly dominated them that it would have been very easy to love him. To know God is to love God. You cannot get to know God and not want to love him. You cannot unveil yourself and yield yourself to the living God in your heart and your mind and your soul, and God fill that, and not just be enriched to the point where you just want to lavish love upon the Lord. How do I get to know God to the point where I choose to love God? The way you get to know God to the point where you will choose to love God is you get to know him through his word and through his spirit. And the reason, and the only reason, a man or woman doesn't love God is because they don't know God. That's the only reason. John said, if you have the love of the world in you, you cannot love the Father. Jesus said, no man can blank two masters. Sir, either he will love the one or he will hate the other. And so as I know the master, and in knowing the master, it draws from me love not demanded by a law, but delighted by grace. And the evidence of that knowing him is that love brings forth an action from my life. Jesus said to serve me. Moses said to obey me. God knew that if the nation of Israel was going to be blessed, they had to be obedient. And God knew if they were going to be obedient, they had to love him. If you're going to be blessed, you're going to need to be obedient to God. And you're not going to be obedient. You're only going to be obedient to God to the level that you love the Lord. And the command is that you are to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. See, you choose what you love. You don't sit there, and I don't sit here, and love somehow just consume me and lift me and bring me like this. I was married 1 week, and that stopped. But I met a little girl that I let get into my heart, into my mind, and into my soul. And as she got into my heart, mind, and soul, and the more I got to know her, the more I wanted to love her. Now, sometimes the more we get to know each other, we want to kill one another. But in our marriage, I choose to love her. And she chooses to love me. If you think Pastor and Beverly are in love all the time, you're out of your mind. Pastor, do you guys ever fight? Whew. Do you ever raise your voice? Yep. Always her fault. I don't think we've never thrown anything. We've never hit one another. We've never done that kind of stuff. But I'm in her heart. She's in my heart. she makes, based off of that, a decision to love me, and I make a decision to love her. And I absolutely am at fault when I don't love her. It's my choice. And so God says to his people, you absolutely are at fault when you don't love me or love the things that I have or love my ways, because it is a choice that you make. Feeling and emotion follow love, but they don't lead love. And so to get to know God is to get to know his word. Now go, if you would, to verse 21. These are the things you find in his word as they would get to know him. Then thou shalt say unto thy son. This is when the boy asked the question. We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. He commanded us to do these things for our, say it, good, always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. And so Moses said to the nation, now listen, when you're in the word is going to remind you of God's salvation. It's going to remind you of his redemption. He's going to remind you of the good spiritual life that he's brought you. He's going to remind you of his goodness and of his plan. I mean, when you begin to get into the word and you begin to learn God and you begin to get to know God and you begin to unfold yourself and yield yourself and make your heart available to God. And as you get to know him in your heart, your mind, in your soul, you will choose to love him. It's impossible not to, because nobody ever loved you like God's loved you. Nobody's done more for you than what God has done for you. And for any believer to kind of shun or turn from the love of God is to not know God. You have a choice. Pastor, I just don't love the Lord for what he's doing right now. That's your choice. But he's never made a mistake in eternity. Pastor, I don't like what I have to go through. Well, that's your choice. But my friend, God has brought them out that he might bring them in. And God will bring you out and in and in and out and through and around for your good. To be blessed, they had to obey. To obey, they had to be motivated right. And to be motivated right, Moses said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. To know God is to love God. God has the right to command from you and from me our love because of who he is. He has the right to command our love because of who he is. But as you get to know him, it no longer becomes a command. It becomes a delight to love the Lord. I ought to obey him because I love him. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul? Shall we pray?